Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Why? This morning, I think all of us know that God has a perfect will for each of our lives. And if we believe that God is who he declares himself to be, and if God wants only the very best for us, why in the world would we ever resist being committed to him? We ask the question, why? Why? And even while we ask that question, we can point out times in our own lives when we definitely knew the will, the plan, the purpose that God had for us, and yet we deliberately and willfully rejected God's will. We resisted what he wanted out of our lives. A question is, why? Why would we do that? Now, Jonah is the epitome of a person who knew exactly what God wanted him to do. God was calling him to go into Nineveh, that wicked city, and cry out against it. And yet the Bible tells us he resisted and he rebelled against that call. Now, if you are a modern-day Jonah, God will convict you by continuing to surface the issue of your call and commitment. When you make a commitment to God, then that commitment never goes away. God has called you, and he expects you to be obedient. But every time you try to pray, God reminds you of that call. And we either deal with the matter and get things straightened up, or we cease to pray. It'll be one of the two. That has transpired in the lives of many that are backslidden Christians today. Through Jonah, I want us to try and learn why we sometimes resist the commitment to God that he calls for. He says in verse 1 and 2, Arise, go to Nineveh, that wicked city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now, Nineveh was a large city in that day and time of around 600,000 people, and God gave some very clear and concise instructions when he said, Go and cry out against Nineveh. Now, what did Jonah do in light of that clear instruction? The Bible says, but Jonah rose up to flee. And he went down to Joppa. And then when he got in the ship, he went down into the ship. And anytime you run away from God, it's always a downward journey. What happened? The Lord sent a great wind when he got on that ship. You know, the one thing that I think all of us need to just remind ourselves of is God is omniscient. God knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly the state of our mind and where we are spiritually. We can't run from God. We can't hide. No matter how fast we run, how far we go, we cannot get away from God. And so the Bible tells us that he went out into that ship and God sent a great wind, and we know what happened. The sailors tried to not throw him overboard when he told them, throw me overboard and everything will be all right. Well, finally they gave up and they threw him overboard. Now God knew where he was. God had a big fish. I think it's just a big old whale. He didn't just happen to be there, but he was on assignment. He was to go and he was to swallow that backslidden preacher And when they tossed him overboard, he just opened his mouth and lunch came in. And he was in the belly of that whale for 3 days and three nights, kind of prefiguring the time when Christ would be in the belly of death for 3 days and three nights before the resurrection. Well, when he was in the belly of that whale, seaweed was wrapped around his neck. And you know, that's a time when it's easy for us to say, well, I remember the Lord. Now, when you're in trouble, what do? You remember the Lord. When a guy's in the foxhole and bullets are whizzing around his head and he had forgotten all about God, but he remembered the Lord. When we're in trouble, we remember the Lord. And he said, Lord, if you give me a chance, I'll do what I vowed to do. In other words, he said, Lord, if you just give me a second chance, I'll go to Nineveh. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Lord, just give me one more chance. Aren't you glad God is the God of the second chance? Because I know we're just like Jonah. Sometimes we don't do right off the bat what God calls upon us to do. Kind of sounds familiar. Maybe we've given God a hard time. Maybe we have been disobedient as to the will of God. God had to send a circumstance in our life. I'm going to tell you, I've had some circumstances, and they're not pleasant. Don't force God's hand. You won't like the results. Because our God is omnipotent. He has all power. And he knows exactly what to do in order to get your attention. But he can bring you to your knees. Well, we've all done exactly what Jonah has done. The problems and the pressures of life kind of weigh us down. And we cry out to the Lord, Lord, I don't know why this is happening to me. Lord, I don't understand, but I want to tell you, if you've been disobedient, you know exactly why it's coming on you. God loves you. He's trying to get your attention. Sometimes God has to come and send some judgment and send a circumstance your way in order to wake you up. But aren't you glad that he cares? He could just write us off. You remember a little bit later in the story that Jonah just got to feeling sorry for himself, and he wished that he could just die. Wouldn't it be awful if God would just let us die? You know, he'd just wipe his hands of us and say, that's enough. Aren't you glad that he cares? And he's willing to forgive us and cleanse us and give us a second chance, a third chance. He's just the God of the second chance. And aren't we glad of that? You see, while we're healthy, while we're strong, while we're in control in our lives, it's easy for us to put the Lord off and say something like this, not now, Lord, but when the circumstance comes, then it's a different story. I beg you this morning, do not force God's hand. Don't make him send a whale in your life. But Jonah got to praying. Now, you may not pray a whole lot when things are going good and you're on the mountaintop, but I'm telling you, when you get down in the valley and in the whale's belly, and when everything's going wrong and you don't know you're going to survive, in fact, sometimes we've even prayed, Lord, just take my life. We've been like Jonah. Lord, I'm tired of this mess down here. God, just give me some relief. But I'm here to remind you this morning that God loves you and he wants to forgive you if you'll call upon him. Jonah called upon the Lord, and the Lord heard his prayer, had that fish to swim to the shore, vomit him up on dry ground. He got rid of that distasteful backslider, and he went as fast as he could. I don't think he lingered. I don't think it took a long time. I think he hot-footed it all the way to Nineveh. And he did what God told him to do. He preached against that wicked city. God didn't have to come back a third time, but the question is why? Why would Jonah rebel against the will of God anyway? Why would he do that? An even better question is why would we? Why would we rebel against God when God has been so good to us? He has blessed us. We have a wonderful church. We have wonderful families. God has just blessed us immeasurably. Why in this world would we ever be unfaithful and resist the will of God? Well, because of fear is one reason. We have a fear of failing. We're afraid of criticism and failure. And we think to ourselves, what will they think if I don't measure up to people's expectations? And we're afraid that folks will spot our faults. Now, the act of faith is simply being willing to place your trust in the wisdom and the will of God without knowing the outcome. Faith does not know what the future holds other than we claim the promises that God has given us and we believe it and we hang on to it. Now, the act of faith is being willing to do that. Now, Jonah was afraid that the people of Nineveh would repent and turn to God. You see, his problem was not that he was worried about failure, but he was worried about success. Wouldn't it be awful for a preacher that God has called to go out and win the lost, and he wants to say, well, Lord, I want to try to win these, but I don't like those folks over there, you know? That's kind of like if they're not looking just like us. And if they don't act just like us, and if they're not in our social strata, then Lord, send them over there, you know? Send them over there. Well, God called him to go and preach to that wicked city of Nineveh. And one reason why he didn't want to do that is he was afraid. But then also because of being selfish. The kind of selfishness that originated with Lucifer. You remember he was in heaven and he rebelled against God and he was defeated by God and he was cast out. He said, I want to be like the Most High God. I want to be like God. I want to call the shots. I want to be in charge. And the same kind of selfishness was seen in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve said, I want my eyes to be open so that I can be like God and I can be in charge. You see, selfishness. We nonchalantly sometimes go about our own plans and we think, well, it's business as usual, as though God never existed. I'm here to tell you this morning, God has a will for every one of your lives. God wants you to be faithful. I mean, mark it down, without faith, it is impossible to please God. God wants every one of us. I can safely say that this morning, that God wants every one of us to be faithful. God wants all of us to serve him out of a heart of love. And if we're not doing that, God is not pleased. And God will send judgment upon us. Jonah's response, Lord, why do I need to preach to them? And he felt sorry for himself. And he just wished he could die. He said, Lord, I don't really want to preach to them. I don't like them, you know. They're not my kind. I don't want to do that, Lord. And he just wished he could die. Well, God might have done him a favor by just taking him out, you know. He was probably the most rebellious prophet that the Bible talks about. But then God, when he was sitting up there on the side of the hill after he had preached to the city and they were repenting and sackcloth and ashes, and he was sitting on the side of the hill and it was hot. It was probably like it is today in Arkansas, you know, in Oklahoma. It was hot. And he was sitting up there and he didn't have any shade. He was feeling sorry for himself. You know, sometimes God puts us in difficult places and we get to feeling sorry for ourselves. But he was up there and he was feeling sorry for himself. He was feeling faint. And God caused a gourd vine to grow up overnight and it cast a big shadow. And it cooled him off. And oh, he was thrilled to death that God had sent that gourd vine and gave him some shade and protection. But then God sent a worm. You know, those worms are bad. God sent a worm, and that worm came, and in a night it devoured that gourd vine, and it withered and died. And oh, he was upset. And the Lord said, do you do well to be mad? He said, Lord, I'm so mad I could spit. No, he didn't say that. He said, Lord, I'm so mad I wish I could just die. Wow. But aren't you glad that God doesn't always take us at our word? You know, if he did, we'd all be out of here. You know, he would have just wiped the slate clean. I'm glad that God is the God of the second, the third, the fourth chance, and that he doesn't just wipe us out when we're unfaithful to him. Well, maybe because of a poor self-image. The Bible tells us about Gideon, Judges chapter 6. When the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty, mighty man of valor. And he excused himself from doing what God wanted him to do to lead the nation of Israel. And he said, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Lord, if you're with us, why are you letting all these bad things happen? Have you ever questioned God like that? Lord, why are you letting all these things happen in my life? I've tried to be faithful. I've tried to love you and serve you and all of that. Lord, why? But you know, sometimes God needs to get us where we can be used. He has to get rid of some dross and some hang-ups and some maybe false beliefs that we have about what's right and what's wrong. God needs to get us where he wants us to be. And sometimes he sends circumstances in order to do just that. We're all inadequate in ourselves. You see, there's so many like Moses that said, Lord, I can't do that. I can't speak. We're all inadequate. But in the Lord, we're adequate. He can cause us to be able to accomplish and do what he's called us to do. How do we resist God? We argue with him. We say, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I heard what you said. I'm going to do what you want me to do. But then sometimes we make a substitute and we substitute our plan for God's plan. And we think our plan's better. Well, you remember King Saul? The Bible tells us that God told him to go and destroy Amalek. And he said, I want you to destroy everything. But King Saul decided that he knew what was best. And so he spared the best of the sheep, the oxen, King Agag. He spared the best of everything in order to keep it. And so when Samuel the prophet came, Saul cried out, I've done what God called me to do. I've done it. Whatever it was that God called him to do, he said, I've done it. And Samuel said, what is that bleating of the sheep that I hear? What is that lowering of the oxen? that I hear. You see, make sure your sins will find you out. And partial obedience, the Bible said, is total disobedience. God wants us just to be faithful. We're getting ready to start another school year. God wants us to be faithful. This church is on the verge of reaching a lot of people for the cause of Christ. But it's going to take everybody putting their shoulders to the wheel, everybody doing what they can do, and God will honor and bless this church. But the reason why that we're doing all we do is that we're doing what God's called us to do, going to all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples. You see, that's our responsibility. Why would we not do that? Why would we not do that? God help us to be faithful. Where are you this morning? Have you said to the Lord, Lord, why are all these things coming in my life? Maybe it is God wants you in a different place than where you are. Maybe it is God wants you to be on your knees and to be faithful. Maybe you've got some things in your life that you know in your heart that's hindering you from serving God like he wants you to serve. And it's time to get rid of it. You know, there comes times in our lives that we need to just fess up to God and say, Lord, I've not been faithful. I've not done what I should have done. I don't come to church like I ought to come. I don't pay my tithes like I ought to pay my tithes. I don't serve like I ought to serve. I don't sing. I don't do what I ought to do. What God's blessed you to do. Brethren, if you're talented, God gave you that talent to honor and glorify him. Whatever we do, do all the will of God. Be faithful to him. And if this morning there's a need in your life or you need to come or you want to come and just say, Lord, I want to recommit myself. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to be a part of this church that makes a difference in the lives of people. I want you to use me. Let's bow for prayer.